Right now, NASCAR on Fox will be no longer for 2017. It's sad. It's a sad day. I like the Fox coverage for NASCAR. Today, Sonoma was their last race for their season. And Chris Neville, pit reporter, joins us now in the Speed Freaks pits. And Chris, it's a little bittersweet, but I'm sure you're enjoying some nice wine up in wine country right now because, hey, you don't have to work the rest of the year.
Hey, now, come on. You can't say things like Fox is not going to be part of the NASCAR coverage for the next few months, because we are. We carry the truck series all the way through till November.
Valid point. Yep.
Race Hub and Race Day all through the week. So there's still lots of NASCAR coverage that Fox is going to provide. So while we aren't going to be on the Xfinity series on the weekend and we aren't going to be on the Cup series on the weekend, we still are going to be a big part of NASCAR and motorsports.
Shame on me. You're exactly right.
and you guys probably understand where all that is coming from, right?
No, absolutely. No, and the thing it was just drilled in my head most of today. This is our last race. This is our last race. And you're so right. It's like, hold on a second. No, Fox is still uber involved. Race Hub, that's a very popular show. And you're right. The trucks, that never goes away.
Yeah. And you know, it's obviously sad for us to walk away from the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series right now, because it literally feels like we just walked out of Daytona, but 5 months has gone by, and it just goes by in the blink of an eye, but we had so much great racing this first half of the season, and such an awesome way to finish it here in Sonoma.
Chris, real quick, I know we're going to talk a little bit about parity coming up later on and how NASCAR has had some amazing parity this year, but we were talking just last segment about Kevin Harvick comes into victory lane. He immediately gets handed a can of Busch beer. Of course, that's his sponsor. And then the trophy, of course, is red wine because you're in wine country. Your opinion on if this sends the wrong message. I know champagne's been a part of victory lanes for decades, but alcohol and driving cars, is that a wrong message for fans?
Oh my gosh. I think we're overanalyzing this. This has been going on since the beginning of auto racing, or at least the beginning of auto racing as I know it. Look at any sport. I mean, how many locker room celebrations you see where people are spraying champagne? It's part of a celebration. It's not like these guys are drinking and then going out on the racetrack and racing around. This is after the race. This is, you know, they work their butt off all weekend long. And they won a major sporting event. So I don't have any issue with it at all.
But Chris Neville, I just looked up some stats. It shows that more than 60,000 people a year die in alcohol-related deaths. That's a very ugly number, and it's unfair to put all of that on Kevin Harvick and Victory Lane today. But I think that when you immediately get out of the car and you start drinking, I think that's just a bad image. If you want to, with your sponsor, while you're on TV, while you're showing it on TV, just put it on the car. You don't have to get out of the car and immediately start swilling it, do you?
I think you're overanalyzing the situation. It's not like Kevin Harvick got back behind the wheel after he had a drink of a Busch beer.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So, you know, I think this is just, you know, athletes, teams, when they win a major event, there's a celebration aspect to it. So I think you're just overanalyzing it.
All right, let's go another direction then. It's amazing. There was a time when people would come to Sonoma or go to Watkins Glen, they would get ringers, road course ringers, to come in and drive. And now they were making fun of one of the great road course ringers just 10 years ago, Boris Said. They even said, you know, look, Boris, there's some asphalt out here. You don't have to be in the dirt all the time. So is NASCAR, it looks like it's advanced beyond the need for road course ringers, even though some of those cars were coming in, the second place car looked like it had been in a demo derby all day.
Well, it's changed since that term came about. You know, when you look back to the 80s and 90s when some road course springers were capable of coming in and winning NASCAR races, the cars have changed and the drivers have changed. You know, there's very few NASCAR Cup drivers now that aren't very capable on road courses, where back in the 80s, it was a different story. So guys could come in and cherry pick a race. So now, you know, for one of these guys that's a sports car racer to come in, you know, more likely than not, you're not going to be in great equipment. And when you looked at all the road course ringers this weekend, none of them were in very good equipment at all. So, you know, they're playing in two different games out there. And just because they're a guy that runs mainly road courses, their ability isn't that great that can offset, you know, a team that's got a great car, spends so much energy, time, money, engineering on that car for a road course. And then a driver now that isn't just oval centric, that is a driver that's more than capable of running on all of the ovals in NASCAR plus the road courses in NASCAR, because that's what you need to be successful in NASCAR today.
Yeah, I like it. I've liked seeing the evolution of some of these guys becoming really good road course racers. Fox Sports pit reporter Chris Neville joins us here in the Speed Freaks pits on a Sunday night. And I know you were with Clint Bowyer right at the end of the race, but Dale, I don't know if you've heard Dale Jr.'s comments yet about, he was asked about his legacy in the sport, and he really took some time. I mean, it had to have been at least 3 or 4 seconds of a pause to really think about what he was going to say. He was very smart with what he said and how just basically to sum it up, being a real person and what's really important in life. Who is this Dale Jr. that we're seeing? It's amazing.
You know, it's been really cool to watch Dale these last couple years, because he has changed. Well, I don't know if he's changed. He's opening up to the public and showing them who he is. And I'm just going to go out there and say, I think it's because of his wife. I think he's so happy at the place he is in his life that he's willing to open up so much more about his feelings and his opinions. Every week I listen to his podcast, and it's fantastic information. I mean, he is so open and honest about everything from his own driving to his team to NASCAR as a sport, to the young drivers coming up, to personal things going on in his life. And he's just such a different driver today than he was 6, 7 years ago when I first met him. And you know, I guess the only thing that's really changed in his life is his wife. And if that's, you know, what has given him this ability to feel like he can share and be vulnerable, I think that's great.
Chris Neville, is there a weakness in Dale Jr.'s resume when it doesn't include a championship or even 30 race wins out of more than 600 races? He's one of the most popular guys in NASCAR, but did he need to win a championship?
I don't think he does. I definitely don't think he does. You know, he comes from such a special family in NASCAR. He has accomplished so much in the sport as a driver. And like he said today after the race, you know, he doesn't want to be remembered so much by his accomplishments of wins or top fives or whether he won a championship or not. He wants to be remembered by the person that he was in the sport and what he contributed to the sport. And I think when you look at that, I mean, Dale Jr. has given us a lot over the last 20 years. And I think that's the special part about Dale Jr.
Before we let you go, Chris Neville, you're talking about what Dale Jr. may want to be remembered as. What does Carl Edwards want to be remembered as? It was interesting to see him there and hear some of his comments about how much fun he's having in life not being a race car driver.
I think Carl is another guy where he brought his own brand to the sport. gave in, I think, a different way than Dale, but he also gave a lot to the sport. And fans were a big part of, you know, everything that he did. And I love that about drivers like that. In my mind, Carl Edwards, the driver, I don't think that book is closed.
Really?
I don't know.
Even though he said he hasn't even considered it.
You know, I mean, he might say that, and maybe at this point in time he hasn't considered that, but I still look at him as somebody that potentially has more driving in front of him. Whether that's 2018, 2019, 2020, I don't know. I look at him and I see that, you know what, maybe he was just at a point where he needed to step back for a little while. But I also see a guy that, I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw Carl Edwards in a car in the next year or so.
Wow. Well, Chris, we cannot take you away from your bottle, glass, whatever it is, of wine that you are having right now. You are in wine country. You've given us some amazing stuff. Thank you. It's been fun watching you this entire season. I know we're going to see you on more stuff coming up, too. But thank you very much for calling us tonight as well.
Yes, I will. I'll be in a bunch of truck races the second half. I'll get a Eldora in just a couple of weeks. My first time going to Eldora, so I'm so excited about that. I mean, I imagine, you know, you're at Sonoma 1 week, and a couple of weeks later, you're at a dirt track in the middle of the Midwest. You know, how great is that?
That's racing. That's one of the many reasons we love it.
Yep.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. Follow him on Twitter, guys, at ChrisNeville84. And yes, shoot, I should have asked him, post a picture of whatever bottle of wine you're drinking right now. Just make us all envious. Seriously. He likes a good bottle of red. And actually, Chris himself loves the Pruitt Vineyards.
Yeah, and so do I, you know.
Scott Pruitt makes good wine.
He makes excellent wine, but... You know, he and I would have to sit down over one of those bottles to continue that conversation a little more. I disagree with him that it has no impact.
Statman, you have 100% disagreement on Twitter. And I have to read a funny tweet, of course, talking about whether we need to worry about alcohol in victory lane after race car drivers get out of their cars. Does it send the wrong message? Yada, yada. This is my favorite response so far on Twitter. At Sans Seth sends you this response. Imagine the terror lactose intolerance people feel during the Indy 500 victory celebrations.
Yeah, in fact, there was one driver who did have that problem, you know, and he just put it up to his mouth and didn't drink it. But yeah, you know, no, I mean, there's a I'm in the minority on this, but I don't think I'm wrong.